What is up, everybody, and welcome back to another edition of Laying the Points with Farley Betts. Hopefully you are following me at Farley Betts on X, formerly known as Twitter, and you would have been watching our current run in the WNBA, 14-4 this season, 3-0 the past few days, feeling very, very, very good about our positions in the WNBA and how we're viewing the marketplace, as the odds makers are definitely starting to get sharper. I don't think there's as much to expose in the WNBA, but early in the season, man, very exposable market, and feel good about our chances moving forward on these teams. 12 teams only, right, in the WNBA. So it kind of makes it nice to, you know, just focus on a smaller cadre of sports teams in this league that only happens for a few months in the summer, as we kind of take a break in the summer, right? We handicap WNBA, UFC for sure most weekends, tennis almost on a daily basis, and maybe we'll squeeze some other things in there. But the summer is also a chance for a handicapper like me at Farley Betts, Chris R. Farley to the layperson. Maybe if you haven't listened before, former Circa winner in 2021, 114K cash prize, over 200 units won in the NBA and NFL the past four seasons. Chris Farley at Farley Betts here for a seasoned handicapper like myself, who is mostly focused on the NFL and then the NBA is a close second. This is a nice 2-3 month period where we can prep for the upcoming NFL season and just take a little break, right? Get some respite in between those two major sports. NBA season just ending a few days ago, Boston Celtics winning that series 4-1. Of course, I was on the Mavericks in game 5 again, stupid old me. So in the NBA season, we finished just over plus 11 units this year, over 500 plays, 53% overall. All those things are pretty average. You know, I'm not thrilled with our performance in the NBA this season, but overall, we're a winner. We gave out a lot of winning plays in the BetUS NBA show on this podcast. And not every year you're going to hit a 56, 57%, right? I started off as a public pro handicapper hitting 58% in 2021, or maybe it was 2020, I forget. It was 2020, I think, because it was the COVID year. Next year I hit 56%. There was a 57% in there for one season as well. But, you know, not every season can be that exceptional. And the NBA product, woo, during the regular season, it's kind of trash, right? It's really hard to predict the motivation for some of these teams. Of course, the resting and the the injury reports and how they're misreported sometimes is really tough. So, you know, I keep on saying that I'm going to limit my volume in the NBA. Easier said than done when you perceive market value day to day. But increasingly, I am getting away from betting the regular season. I mean, most of those bets for me in the NBA came after mid-December, as we, you know, still were focusing on the NFL. So it just goes to show you how much opportunity there is, 500 plays over a whole season in the regular season and playoffs of the NBA. But to put a lot of your money on a consistent basis against the odds makers in the NBA, I think is a really tough situation, because there's clearly a lot of information that's not easily known out there. Lines moving in weird directions. And again, the motivation, the injuries, all the things that make the NBA season kind of clunky and a little too long, like a lot of the things that the fans complain about, right? Also makes it really tough to bet on. So we're happy that we're in the positive. We're happy with 53%, because you can't do 56, 57 every season. But we'll be back at it next season, probably again starting in December at some point as the NFL season winds down. But this podcast today is about the NFL season. And as much as we are white hot in the WNBA right now, pay attention to the plays that I'm putting out. Support us over at sportswagers.live or sportswagers.ca. If you click on one of those banners of our affiliate sports books, you will get a discount, and that'll help us stay around, stay alive, so that we can keep on giving out those high quality free picks to you every single day. Again, 14-4 in the WNBA. And all those picks have been faux free. So this podcast is going to be talking about three mysterious, mystifying, confusing NFL teams heading into the 2024 season. At least they are to me. But as I talk about them and think out loud. And after doing some research, like some more down and dirty and deep research on three teams, I think I have a better idea of what I can expect, but I still am left with a big question mark over my head because these are tougher teams to figure out heading into this season. That's for sure. Let's start with the Seattle Seahawks. Now, the theme, if you will, of the Seattle Seahawks is change, right? The biggest change is the departure of Pete Carroll, who was tenured for a long time there with the Seattle Seahawks, 10 postseason appearances, of course, a Super Bowl winner. I believe that was Super Bowl 38 with those Seattle Seahawks, and just a long, legendary tenure from USC to Seattle for Pete Carroll. And I think he will be remembered as one of the best NFL coaches since those Seattle Seahawks won, and they won often, every single season under his reign. And of course, what we remember about Pete Carroll as a coach is, even though he was one of the older NFL coaches throughout his tenure, one of the most energetic, always positive, right? Always boosting the guys in the sideline. Those are tough shoes to fill for Mike McDonald, new head coach of the Seattle Seahawks as of January 2024. So he's only been with this team now for 6 months. Pretty quick transition. And, you know, comes as a celebrated defensive coordinator from the Ravens. Obviously has some good experience in his career overall. But it's a lot of change, right? It's a lot of change. Ryan Grubb also coming over from Washington, the University of Washington, that is, as their offensive coordinator. Big job for him too, right? Big shoes to fill for an offense in the past that was very productive, but also coming off a season where they were 9-8, Geno Smith kind of regressed a little bit, right? And we saw that offense having more challenges than usual. Injuries to a few of their guys didn't help. You know, right? Injuries to DK Metcalf, injuries to Geno Smith, running back injuries always seem to be a problem for the Seahawks. And that offensive line has been a huge problem, right? They brought over Laken Tomlinson in the offseason from the Jets. Not sure how much I like that move. Like, he's not a great pass blocking offensive lineman, but I guess a more veteran presence. But you know, I'm not convinced that this Seattle Seahawks offensive line is going to be a good enough unit this season, because I think, you know, they need to get that run game going. They need to establish it consistently. And that hasn't been the case for a team like Seattle, who has been built off of that in seasons past. And I know this is a new regime, but you got a coach like Mike McDonald, Ravens defensive coordinator, probably going to want to play a lot of ball control. And that offensive line is going to have a lot of pressure on them to, you know, free up the play action, free up Geno Smith, and free up the run game so that their offense stays out there on the field. There's a big problem last year. The thing about the Seahawks, though, is they have a lot of guys. Right? Like, they got key players in key spots. DK Metcalf, their number one receiver. Tyler Lockett, arguably the best number two receiver in the NFL. Jackson Smith and Jigba, second season now with the Seattle Seahawks. Plans on, of course, they all say this, but he's talking about, you know, playing even better, making a bigger impact this season. I like Noah Fant as their tight end, very solid tight end. Kenneth Walker III. Is a bruising running back. And Zach Charbonnet. Who the hell knows? But he's a good pass-catching running back coming out of the backfield. So they got good guys, right? They got enough talent at the skill positions. And we've seen Geno Smith do it before. We've seen him have a great season there in 2022. Leonard Williams coming over from the Giants, and their defensive line is a great pickup. Last season, Byron Murphy, the second guy that they drafted from Texas in the first round, led the NCAA in pressures. So if that defensive line can improve too, which has been another subject of, or another area of weakness for the Seahawks, that would be a big gain for them, right? They haven't been very formidable or consistent now for a few seasons. In that backfield of their defense, they have Devon Witherspoon, very legitimate guy who we saw last year make a lot of great plays. Second year now Julian Love is good. Tariq Woolen is good. They have a damn good backfield. Linebackers, defensive line, big question mark. And again, they're at 8.5 wins at most sports books, right? Now, the over is plus money. Under is juiced a little bit, which makes sense. But the thing is, I think the Arizona Cardinals improve. They got a good coach over there now, too. You know, they have Marvin Harrison Jr. coming over. Kyler Murray, second year back from injury. And they picked up some good guys. Arguably had one of the better drafts in the NFL. So I think Arizona improves. San Francisco will be there competing again at the top of the NFC. And I think the Rams improve. The Rams with a lot of young guys on defense getting better. The Rams with arguably the best wide receiver duo in the NFL. And a quarterback in Matthew Stafford, who in my mind is the best in the NFC, returning for another year. But without Pete Carroll, right, the stabilizer, the foundation for this franchise for over a decade, without Pete Carroll, I don't know if I can trust that the Seattle Seahawks are going to be a good team this year. And I damn sure wouldn't bet on over 8.5 for the Seattle Seahawks. I lean under, but still more confusion, right? And the confusion lies in something that's very important in the NFL, not always important in other sports. Like we're seeing increasingly the NBA. I don't know how much great coaches matter. Like sometimes they do, but you need the great players out there, right? You need the stars. In other sports, the same thing. But in football, especially in the NFL, head coaching and the coaching staff matters. And this is a huge change. So, of course, there's a chance that Mike McDonald and Ryan Grubb and the new administration over there comes in and they do a great job with this team, but it's a lot to ask. And I don't think we can make any, you know, sweeping judgments about the Seahawks until we kind of see them on the field and see how their chemistry looks and see if there's any confusion with the new regime. Right? It's tough to make a bold call. Like if you listen to handicappers out there or your podcast and they're like, the Seattle Seahawks are going to be awesome this year. That there's no way that they're not at least being a little disingenuous with you. Because when you have this much change in the front office, especially in the coaching staff, it is not easy to convert that into instant wins, especially coming off of a guy like Pete Carroll. All right, let's talk about the Chicago Bears. The Bears. Yeah, the Bears are right. Now, this is, you know, obviously talking about the Bears is a hot topic, right? Everybody's kind of excited about the Bears this season. Let me turn my mic up. My mic keeps on going down in volume. I have no idea why. Everyone's talking about the Chicago Bears, of course, right? Caleb Williams, number one draft pick, high expectations. Kid seems really cool and calm and collected. And you look at their new roster, especially on offense, and you can't help but be like, ho, wait a second. That's a shit ton of talent, right? You brought in Caleb Williams. Now you got DeAndre Swift at running back. And they still got Khalil Herbert back there. They still, you know, they have some good depth behind DeAndre Swift. They brought over DJ Moore last year. Keenan Allen, they've just brought over this offseason. Arguably one of the most consistent veteran wide receivers in the NFL, right? Kind of like a Hines Ward type of guy, just knows how to be a professional wide receiver and produce year after year. You know, coming off of some injuries, but Keenan Allen, damn good player. Rome Odunze, another top draft pick for them. Big guy, I believe from Washington, right? I don't have all these college players memorized, but I mean, you look at those four guys, Swift, DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, and Rome Odunze, and that is a very legitimate cadre of weapons for Caleb Williams, right? Like what an array of talent for him just starting off on his first team. And their offensive line, according to experts, like I'm not an offensive line expert, heading into 2024, they're a top 10 unit, right? So they can protect Caleb Williams. We think they can get some things done for Caleb Williams. But of course, protecting him back there, giving him time to adjust to the speed of the NFL is going to be really, really important. And there's a reason why a lot of these number one picks, these number one pick quarterbacks have issues at first, right? Look at Baker Mayfield, look at Trevor Lawrence. I mean, you got a bullseye on your back, right? The whole league knows that you were the number one draft pick. So the whole league is going to try to make life difficult for you. Look at Bryce Young last season. not an easy season. There's a lot of problems there in Carolina, but you know, you're putting yourself out there. Oh, you're the number one pick. You're the best player to come out of college. Okay. We'll see. And the thing is about Chicago and the NFC North is the NFC North is not, it's not easy anymore, right? You got two potential top teams in the NFC North. Definitely the Lions, but maybe the Packers too, are very competitive. Went to the second round of the playoffs last season. I mean, how could you not be impressed by what the Packers did and what Jordan Love did? And now they're back and they're reloaded. And if we're not talking about the Packers or the Lions, two obvious potential top teams in the NFC, the other team, the Minnesota Vikings, even though they're in flux now that Kirk Cousins is gone, Caleb Williams has to face a Brian Flores-led defense, a defense that improved a lot last season under Brian Flores, an aggressive defensive coordinator who's going to try and get in his head early and often. Like, games against Minnesota aren't going to be easy either. And then if you look at the other games on Chicago's schedule, Houston, Indianapolis, the Rams, the Jaguars in London, where the Jaguars are more comfortable than any other team, Washington, Arizona, San Francisco, Seattle. I mean, that could be six or seven losses right there between those eight other teams outside of their divisions. So we're talking about a potentiality, or potential, whatever, of up to 14 losses against teams that could very well operate on a much higher level than the Chicago Bears when they see them. But now, on the other hand, because of their all this talent that's been stacked up on offense, and by the way, their defense looks pretty damn good too, right? When we saw Montez Sweat come over there, we saw some defensive improvements right away. I mean, the last half of their schedule last season, their defense was a top five unit in some categories, really good against the run, really stifling teams. They got some guys in their secondary and their backfield on defense. So it's not like they don't have the talent. But we're talking about Matt Eberflus, defensive-oriented coach, who's you know, theoretically leading all this change that's mostly on offense, right? A ton of movement on offense, including Shane Waldron, new offensive coordinator. Now, he came from the Belichick tree, the McVay tree, okay? You know, coming over from Seattle now, so he's dealt with a lot of different quarterbacks, Jared Goff, Russell Wilson, Geno Smith, more of a pocket passer offensive guy, known for his helping Geno Smith improve the last few seasons. But again, it's a lot of change, right? It's a brand new team for him too. High-profile quarterback, number one in the draft. 9.5, again, plus money to the over, juice to the under, makes sense. I could only look at the under in that. I mean, especially, I mean, if you go over what I just did with their schedule, how tough their division is going to be. And then let's just break it down to like Houston, the Rams, San Francisco, and let's just say the Colts. I mean, those are four very realistic losses. I can't go over. I would lean under. But listen, if the talent all fits together, if Caleb Williams really does have ice in his veins and he's as cool, calm, and collected as him and his painted nails seem, then hey, this could be instantly a much better Chicago Bears team. And that's why I'm not pulling any triggers here. But still pretty mysterious, still mystifying to this guy. Okay, and let's move on to my last team to talk about it, my last mystifying team, the Jacksonville Jaguars. Listed at 8.5, which is pretty even on both sides, -110, it looks like, in most books. Jaguars, 8.5. This might be the team that I'm most confused about as far as what they're going to look like this season, because we know that Houston's on the up and up. I think Indianapolis is on the up and up. Now, Tennessee might be on the down and down, but the AFC South isn't exactly a simple division anymore, with teams where if you get better, you're just going to start winning. Like, that's not the case, right? As Jacksonville found out last year, right? Doug Peterson, another year with the Jaguars, but didn't exactly equate to automatic wins, right? Missed the playoffs this time. Now, they drafted Brian Thomas Jr., 6'4", wide receiver, big guy out of LSU, has the speed and the talent to make throws pretty much from anywhere, or to make catches from throws that go at him anywhere on the field. You know, the Jaguars traded down to get him, so they really wanted him. They got their guy. That's a nice pickup for them. How about some other pickups? Eric Armstead, defensive tackle from San Francisco. When he's healthy, one of the best in the NFL. That should be a huge improvement for a defensive line that's been good, not great. Of course, Josh Allen, the defensive end Josh Allen, is still there, and he's been great. But he can use some help, and Eric Armstead is a guy that could truly help as long as he stays healthy. Healthy? Brought over Gabe Davis, wide receiver from Buffalo. We've seen him make some big catches the last few years when Stephon Diggs was being covered out there. You know, speedy guy, can catch those deep balls as well. I like that for Jacksonville. They got Mitch Morse, center, 31-year-old center, who, you know, is recently he was in a Pro Bowl with the Bills, right? So he's a guy who can play center, and that offensive line has needed improvement. We've seen Trevor Lawrence get beat up a lot. 3.6 yards per rush in 2023, 30th in the NFL. And again, Trevor Lawrence and this Jaguars offense is going to be most dangerous. Like, they're not like the Chiefs or some of these other teams that, even if they don't have a great running game, maybe they still have a good offensive game overall. No, I think Jacksonville needs their run game to work. And of course, they have the talent there, but their offensive line has not really stepped up. There's not a lot of holes for those runners in the backfield. Brought over Ezra Cleveland as well, guard, veteran guard. It's an old offensive line, okay? Now, it could be one of the better units that they've had in a few seasons, but it's old. And what can we expect from Trevor Lawrence? Coming off a down year, getting a lot of criticism, right? His stats basically match Daniel Jones, right? Same draft class, getting paid a lot more than Daniel Jones, and his stats are pretty much the same. So, you know, it's now or never, I think, for Trevor Lawrence. Like, if you don't step up and really show that you are a quarterback who should start and should keep on starting in this league, Trevor Lawrence could turn out to be one of the bigger busts in NFL history. Now, he's not going to just get one more year, right? Like, you know, signed a new contract. Like, he's going to be there for a while. But any fear factor or, you know, any confidence in this guy to deliver for us in our bets kind of starting to fade away, especially when you see other players like CJ Stroud, Anthony Richardson in their own division, who, like, those guys are different, right? CJ Stroud is clearly a very talented quarterback, and Anthony Richardson, too bad he got injured, because that looked like that was going to be one of the more entertaining offenses in the NFL when he was behind center. And they were hanging with some good teams early in the season, putting up points too. Versatile guy. So if you're Trevor Lawrence, you can't just sit back. And they got more talent now. Brian Thomas Jr., I like that pickup. I like Gabe Davis. I like some of the additions to their offensive line, but 8.5 wins, could not go over that either. And although I do think that win total is more accurate than the other two teams I mentioned today. But a lot of watching and observing is going to happen for me on these Jacksonville Jaguars, because they mystify me, man. You could see both cases here. You could see, okay, this is it. Trevor Lawrence, improvements made, defense growing too. Okay, let's see it. Like, I could see a turnaround for Jacksonville, but in a division that's got tougher, not sure if that's been enough for their offensive line that they changed. And, Trevor Lawrence now, you got to show us a little more. He's back. He's healthy. No excuses, right? Jacksonville, Chicago, Seattle. Sit back and watch, and I would refrain from any overly confident wagers on them early in the season. All right, if you follow me on X at Farley Bets, then you probably already know this, but I put up a free play today, LA Sparks at New York Liberty tonight at 7 o'clock, a play that I really like. We've seen some movement in the total there, so you might not get as good of a number as I got. Maybe we're moving the market a little bit too, let me tell you, because once I put out a pick, seems like things move. I don't know if that's a coincidence, but at 14-4, odds makers might want to pay attention. But we like the over in Sparks and Liberty. Check out my full analysis at sportswagers.live to read more about that. And just for a little look ahead here, Friday in the WNBA, Fever at the Dream. Indiana Fever may probably getting a little too much love here. Only 1.5-point underdogs on the road. I would lean Atlanta there, but I need to look into that game more. Atlanta's pretty inconsistent this season, too, and they've changed a lot. Went from a high-paced, high-scoring team with not a lot of defense to a team that plays more defense, slower-paced, and not as gifted offensively. So almost a full turnaround for the Atlanta Dream. I don't know all the ins and outs of why that's the case, which I think is why I'm winning in the WNBA, because I'm not overthinking this shit, right? It's what the market shows you. It's all about the number, folks, the number. And the Connecticut Sun face the Aces late tomorrow night on Friday. Aces getting 5.5 points at home in that one. You know, that's probably right. And the Aces just got a big win. I believe they beat the Seattle Storm in their last game. Yeah, Wednesday, yesterday at home, the late game. I didn't have a play on that, but good win by the Aces to kind of overcome some really bad performances as of late. But, you know, they got Asia Wilson, easily the best player in the WNBA. They are the champs from last season. I have a feeling they'll figure it out, but I'm probably going to stay away from that one because the Connecticut Sun are 13-1. I mean, they're doing something right. Their defense is very legit. You know, we're seeing a lower total here than what we see in most Aces game at 162.5. I might think about going over in that one. I lean over just because Vegas at home can still score points. You know, Connecticut might have to keep up. I mean, Vegas is the favorite for a reason. But at 7-6, you know, this is an Aces team that isn't showing us the same elite qualities that they have in seasons past. And the Sun are pretty good. So I'm going to lean Connecticut Sun plus 5.5. Neither of those are official plays. No official plays just yet for tomorrow's card. But again, follow me at Farley Best to find out more about what positions, if any, I have on tomorrow's WNBA card. I'll have some UFC picks on Saturday, most likely. And I'll start to put out more and more tennis picks as we get closer and closer to Wimbledon around the corner in July. With that, at Farley Betts, everyone, I mentioned it a few times, but why not one more time? Follow me at Farley Betts. This is Chris R. Farley with Laying the Points with Farley Betts. We are a weekly betting podcast, mostly talking NFL now, heading back into this season in a few months. I cannot wait. Again, look forward to more guests. Thank you for listening. And if you want to support us at Farley Betts, either look at our sponsors there at Sports Wagers, or of course, hit me up on Venmo anytime. Love you all. Take care. Until next time, let's win some damn money.